Anyone in here believe in the supernatural?
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Supernatural intervention of God. When we came here on Monday night, down in the MP room, one of the things I felt strongly led in my spirit to pray for was that storm that they were forecasting coming over the northeast part of the country. So I asked the men to come in agreement, and we came in agreement with the saints that are in that part of the country, because we know they had to be praying. I mean, if tragedy's coming your way, you better know how to pray. Hallelujah. And so we just joined our faith with those who were praying. And even if nobody was praying, we still interceded. But I believe that God had some of his sons and daughters, because I know some that are on that East Coast in that area. And I know they have to be praying. And so we prayed for God to intervene. And then just begin to speak, and it's like, turn that storm, Lord. Take it up into the air. Let it dissipate. Lose its strength and power. Send it away from them. Take it off its course. And begin to speak to the storm to move, to move, to move. And I went home that night, preacher man. I turned on Fox News to see what they had to say. And I heard that newscaster says, who knows? This storm could turn and go out in the Atlantic Ocean. Come on. I said, speak it.
Come on.
Speak it.
Come on.
Speak it.
Hallelujah.
And then all of a sudden they started to say, the storm took a turn.
Come on.
It took a turn. It took a turn. It took a turn. It took a turn. And guess what? The people got angry with the governors and the mayors of those states and cities because they shut down the transportation systems. They did what they were supposed to do, and God did what we prayed for him to do. So they got mad at them for nothing. They're complaining about them, saying, you shut the system down. These people have no idea of what that storm could have did. And if it would have came in and did a whole lot of damage, then they would have been crying out saying, why didn't you stop the systems, the subways and all?
Come on. Come on.
This is where God is leading us to. I have to share something with you. We may not even have Bible study tonight, but this is Bible study on the spot of where God is taking us to. I read this article in the Charisma magazine, and the person was teaching on the order of Melchizedek. That wasn't the title of what he was saying, but he talked about how we need to step into that Melchizedek king priest position. And so I wanted to see, first of all, if he was biblically based and what he was saying. So as I read the article, and then he started talking about the twofold ministry of Melchizedek. One, he was the king of Salem. Two, he was priest of the Most High God. And then he shared, he said, and as priest, we have to go before God and minister unto God as priest. As priest, we have to go before God and present the needs of the people to the Lord. And then he said, but as kings, we declare the decree over matters. And when I saw that, then I started thinking of scriptures, and I started thinking of Matthew chapter 16. Isaiah, I think it's 22:22, talking about the keys of David. And how Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of God. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And those keys represent authority. authority to unlock, authority to lock, authority to open, authority to close, authority to bind, authority to loose. And then I started thinking about what John said in the book of the Revelation. I believe it's in chapter 1. He says he has made us kings and priests unto our heavenly Father. And some try and say, well, it's a kingdom of priests. Well, yeah, we're a kingdom of priests, but it says kings and priests. And it also says that our Lord is King of kings and he's Lord of lords. And he says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom of God. That's to exercise kingdom power and kingdom authority, kingdom might and kingdom dominion in the earth. Come on, let's pick up that mantle. Come on, let's pick up that mantle. Come on, let's pick up that mantle in Jesus' name. Don't I look like, you know, it's foreign and strange? We're not supposed to live like paupers. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. Our God, our daddy, is in control, and he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's given us all that we need. Jesus said this. Did he not say it in the scriptures? Occupy until I come. Do business till I come. What kind of business? Kingdom business. Do it till I come. That means every generation of the church ought to walk in this and ought to do it, because he has not come back yet. How do you know? Because we're here and we're looking forward to his glorious appearing. We're waiting for the heavens to part and Jesus to descend in the cloud and call us up. So he hasn't come. So he's still expecting us to occupy. He said, whatever you bind and whatever you loose, whatever you permit, whatever you allow, and whatever you forbid. So God is like, I not only want you to intercede and come before me on behalf of the people who are you coming before God on behalf of somebody else, but I also want you to declare and decree things. After you petition me, now speak it. Call it forth in the name of Jesus. Come on, Church of the Living God. Come on. Come on, let's change things around.
Yeah.
Stop living like a victim. Stop living like a pauper. Stop living like a weakling. Stop living like an orphan. Stop living like you're a widow. He said, I will not leave you as a widow or an orphan. I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. With you in the fire, with you in the flood, with you in every situation. I'll never leave you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Claim the land and claim the territory. Claim what is rightfully yours. What is mine? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. Paul even said, all things are yours. All things are yours. He said, whether Paul or Apollos, Peter, the world, all things are yours. Tell your neighbor, stake your claim.
Stake your claim.
Issue a decree over it, a situation. Write a decree, an order, a mandate. It is so sealed with the king's signature. Praise God. Glory. Glory. So, for the next few moments, we're going to move the hand of God in a direction. Sister Vernice, Sister Wallace, sharing. She got some reports, like one after the other. Her, you mind me sharing? Where's she at? Okay. If you do, we'll just pray. One, the doctor said her father won't be here for in another year. Now he's well aged. It would be understanding, especially if he's ready to go on to glory. But her brother and her sister got a bad report too, and her sister got a report that she only has a year. Let's change it tonight. In Jesus' name. Let's change that report tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. She's his youngest, Sister Wallace. Sister Wallace is 16. No, 16. Look at it. She looks like she's 16. Y'all, see, I just flew right over your head. Is she younger? So she's 17. No, she's 15. 15. So we're going to, hallelujah. She's 6. Oh, she's a little kid. Bless God. Glory. Glory. So let's go before the throne. You can stand on your feet. If you sit there, at least be praying and not watching. If you got a prayer request, get it up here quickly. As we're going before the throne of grace. Jesus. We lift up Anita before you, Jesus. We believe your report. By your stripes we are healed. We believe your report that you were wounded for our transgressions and you were bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for on you, and with your stripes we were healed. We are healed. We believe, Jesus, that we shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. We believe in your word, that you send forth your word to heal and to deliver from destruction. We believe that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Lord, by the time Anita gets this word that we have prayed for her and stood in the gap, that she will have received her healing in her physical body, and she will not live by what man says, but she will live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth concerning her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So Father, we stand in the gap on her behalf. We stand in the gap on behalf of Rudolph McDowell. We cover him in the blood. We cover him in the blood. Give him a miracle. Give her a miracle. Deliver them completely from sickness and disease. Deliver them completely from sickness and disease. Lord God, we don't receive the sentence of men. We receive your sentence.
Yes.
Father, we prophesy over them that they shall live and not die at that appointed time, and shall give glory unto you.
If there's anything hindering, anything interfering, anything blocking, we come against that thing right now in the name of Jesus. We come against the adversary. We come against doubt. We come against fear. We come against anything and everything that would stand in the way. Lord, move it now in Jesus' name. We cover them in the precious blood of the Lamb. We cover them in the precious blood of the Lamb. We cover them in the precious blood of the Lamb. You said in your word to anoint the sick with oil if they committed any transgressions. You'll forgive them. Let no evil befall them, no plague come near them, no hurt, harm, or danger come their way. These are your words, oh God. So right now we drive away the spirit of darkness. Right now we drive away the spirit of death. Right now we drive away that dark cloud. Right now we drive away fear. Right now we drive away intimidation. Right now we drive cancer out. We drive hepatitis out in the name of Jesus. We drive it out. Go, go, go from their physical bodies. Go back to the abyss. Go into outer darkness. Go back to your master. Go back to the devil. In Jesus' name. Father, we issue a decree by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Anita is healed. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, Rudolph is healed. And by the stripes of Jesus Christ, Mr. McDowell will go when he's ready to go and when you're ready to receive him in Jesus' name and by his blood. Yes, we decree a thing and it shall be established. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We have been disturbing this present darkness, and we're not backing down, and we're not backing up. So the adversary does dumb things. The adversary does dumb things to try and trip us and discourage us. We refuse to be discouraged. We refuse to give in.
Come on.
We refuse to let up.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because we are seeing God do wonders. Hallelujah. So if the enemy's been messing with you, just laugh.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Just laugh.
Yes.
Laugh it off. Smile at him. Smile at him, because it's like a fighter in the ring when the opponent has hit him with his best shot and they just look at them and smile. They know that they're in trouble. Because if that didn't take them out, they don't know what's going to take that person out. So just give them a smile. Say, that didn't work either. Glory to God. That didn't work either. Hallelujah. So you just keep doing what you're trying to do. Because that's all he's doing, is what he's supposed to do. But it's only supposed to make us stronger, more dependent, and more reliable on our God. Hallelujah. God's setting him up for failure. He's setting him up for a big defeat, a massive defeat. He's already defeated in the eyesight of God. But until that time where he's cast into the lake of fire, never to be brought out again, never to escape, until that time, he's given the church victory.
This is our time to punch the devil. You know, I hear some, and rightly so, when we get, when we come back with Jesus on those white horses, you know, and we want to give that devil that final kick in the face and stuff like that. You know, that's fine and dandy, but Jesus has given us the opportunity to kick him in the face right now. Hallelujah. Trample. He said we have authority and power to trample over serpents and scorpions. He wasn't talking about the literal serpents and scorpions. He was talking about the devils. He was talking about demon powers. He was talking about religious leaders that would try and shut down the work of God. Trample over them. Some of our greatest enemies are not even the devil. It's some religious people who think that they know God, but they really don't. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Herodians, they thought that they knew God until Jesus showed up. And everybody else thought they knew God until Jesus showed up. But when Jesus showed up, they were like, we've never heard anything like this. He speaks with authority. We've not seen anything. Where is he from? We'll look at Mark chapter 12 as we get ready to bring our offerings unto the Lord. Mark chapter 12, just another typical day with Jesus. Did anybody get a chance to read their post this week from Sunday? Yes. Anybody? Did it bless you? For those who didn't. Once again, we remind you of the term revolution and the definition. The usually violent attempt by many people to end the rule of one government and start a new one. A sudden, extreme, or complete change in the way people live, work, etc. A fundamental change in the way of thinking about or visualizing something. A change of paradigm, meaning a change of habit, pattern, or standard. The writer in the book of Proverbs says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts control our actions. We think about something long and hard enough, we'll go and act on it. We often say, and I've said it already before, but we often say when somebody does something just totally out of the norm, it's like, what were you thinking? In other words, what was in your mind? What was going on with you when you did what you did? Well, you think about something long enough, you end up doing it. That works both bad and it works good. God tells us to think and meditate upon his word. Meditate in it day and night. Then our way will be made prosperous and then we'll have good success. Why? Because we're thinking on the word. We're pondering on that word. And then we start to do it and we have success. Hallelujah. It's that simple. It's a 2+2 thing. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The change, fundamental change in the way of thinking about or visualizing something, change of a paradigm, change of habit, pattern, and standard. The change is a supernatural result of compliance to the will of the Father. It's cooperating with God, going on the path that he's laid out for us. The reactions to change are what we need to be prepared for, but not be moved by. Share it with you, or scripture reference, Acts chapter 20, verse 24, where Paul said, none of these things move me. Everything that was happening to him, he says, none of these things move. I'm not moved by any of those things. That's got to be the believer's mindset in this hour. People going to act up and do all kind of crazy stuff. And we have to say, none of these things move me. Hallelujah. Can we get to that place? Of course we can. Only in Christ. Only in Christ. Only in Christ. So he says, none of these things move me. Jesus said, if they reject you, they reject me. And if they receive you, they receive me. Jesus had haters, mockers, and persecutors. It should be no surprise to us if we encounter the same. Our focus, however, should not be on them, but on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. A boldness should be coming upon you if it hasn't already begun. A greater desire to share the word of God, to do the will of God, to pray and to seek his face, to spend time in his presence, waiting on him. We had a good teaching on waiting. At least I thought it was good. It blessed me anyways. We had a good teaching on waiting, waiting on God, waiting in his presence. And it's a rewarding thing. You hear people talk about meditation, and some people have different, you know, you got transcendental meditation, which is cultic. You have Orientals that do, you know, different types of meditations, and people have books and things like that, different patterns of meditation, but God has a meditation. Hallelujah. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. See, you ain't just out there just, hum. You ain't doing none of that. Mm-mm. No, you're thinking and pondering over the word of God. What word? That word you should have read this morning for breakfast. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to have your motto meal. Bless God. Your Holy Ghost meal. Open up the book, get a verse, get a chapter, get something in your spirit, something to feed your spirit, man, to chew on. So as you go throughout the day, you got something to meditate on. Don't meditate on last week's meal. I mean, if you're eating every day and then something comes up that was said last week, that's one thing. But if you haven't picked your Bible up in a week, don't be, you know, no, get that word, make it, it's so handy. I used to say, you know, it's just as simple as going to Walmart. But now it's as simple as having on your smartphone. You could carry a smartphone to your job. Well, they don't want me to bring a Bible to the job. Bring a smartphone. Hallelujah. They don't want me to put my Bible on the desk. Put your smartphone on the desk. Yeah. They come out, oh, nice phone. Yeah. Push the button. Boop, Bible. Oh, you're one of those. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, I'm one of those. I'm one of those believers. So we meditate on that word. We chew it throughout the day. Because, see, if all you do is worry about, not saying this has happened, but an argument with your spouse, or the car broke down, or, you know, you got to go to the doctor and you don't know what's wrong. Do you know that alone makes you sicker? Thank you, Sister Oliver. I think that was you that said, yeah. Thinking about, oh, I'm worried about what they're going to say, what the test results are going to be. I'm worried about that. You just make your body just gets worse. It starts to react to those negative thoughts. It starts to react to that pattern of thinking. You're getting ready to go have a blood pressure test. Oh, I know I got high blood pressure. Oh, I hope it don't be high. Oh, your body is starting to act up because you're thinking about that. Just go in there with perfect peace. Check it and tell me how good it is. Ah, praise God. Jesus told us don't worry. He says because by worrying, you can't even add a cubit to your stature. You can't grow. You can't benefit from it. So why even worry? He said, the Father doesn't, you know, the birds of the air, they don't plant, they don't sow, they don't reap. But every morning they sing and praise their way to their meal. Tweet, 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 tweet. You know. They're singing unto the Lord, and the Lord says, right there. Tweet, 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 tweet. And if God will provide for the sparrow, if he would provide for the, the lilies of the field, if he would so decorate them, then why should we worry about what kind of clothing we have to wear? I wore that last week. If you don't say nothing, nobody will notice. Amen. Praise God. Just keep it clean and just keep, you know, going with it. Praise God. So we can't benefit from worrying, but we meditate on the word. So they give us a negative report, and then we find a verse to counter that negative report. And instead of dwelling on the negative report, we start dwelling on the verse of scripture. And we meditate on that. And then when we go to the doctor, then they say, well, we knew it was there when we said this, but now we don't know what has happened, but it's no longer there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and you can bring your offerings at any given time. The change, our focus should be not on them that reject us, because to actually, truly, genuinely believe on Jesus makes us weird in the eyesight of mankind. And they say all manner of dumb things, that we're blind faith and faith in faith and just, you know, religious fanatics and things like that. Anything to try and criticize us or make us feel like we're something's wrong with us. But we can't focus in on what they think. When they say, oh, it's that church you go to, tell them, no, it's this God that I serve. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the God that I serve. That's what it's all about. You know, because people don't care as long as you don't change. You can go to church all you want to, just don't change. It's when you change. Oh, see. Can't handle the change. When we stand before him, this is important, when I got this, I mean, it's written, but it's like when it came, it's like, oh, praise God. When we stand before him, we want to hear those glorious words, well done, and not depart from me. Because Jesus is going to say both. To one, he will say, well done. To another, he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But we want to hear well done. Hallelujah. Besides, Jesus wants to demonstrate his power through us by the Holy Ghost. So it's not like, you know, do a good job and then I'll bring you in and I'll give you some rewards. It's like, no, I want to do something. I want to use you in order to accomplish the will of the Father in the earth. So he wants to demonstrate his power through us by the Holy Ghost. Signs and wonders are still for today. Now is the day of salvation. Our incentive is love for Jesus and love for souls. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we're simply cooperating with our Father, cooperating with God. He's working in us. And if we didn't need any work, we might as well not have come to him. But now that we've come to him, it's like he's working. Hallelujah. And it's a good thing. He's Terrence, Jesus brings his own wrecking crew. I think I did a post like that a while back. He's got his own wrecking crew to come in and just tear down, root out, pull out, pluck up, and destroy so he can plant and build. He comes in to, I want to say fix and repair. He comes in to renew. He comes in with new stuff, new furniture and things like that. But he comes in and he makes all things new. He comes in and all of our weaknesses and flaws and things like that, he perfects those things and he takes our focus off of those things and place them on him, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith, as I said earlier. And in that passage, I think it's Hebrews chapter 12, it goes on to say, who for the joy before him, set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercessions. God is chipping away at the old man, the old way we lived, in order to unveil the new creation that we are in him. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. He works from the inside out, developing his character and nature within, which leads to his personification without, because when people look at us, they should see Jesus if we're cooperating with God's plan. Hallelujah. The life of Christ emanating through us. See, this is how you can tell when people are more religious than they are having a relationship, because if all we do is go through the formalities. What do I mean by that? Church attendance is good, but we come to church. Prayer is good, and we pray. Read the Bible, we read. But if it never changes our life, then it's all mechanical. It's all religion. God doesn't want it. He just doesn't move in and do nothing. And God is like, I got too much work to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he comes on the inside and just starts working on us. And we cooperate with his plan. He is the potter and we are the clay. He begins, perfects, and completes the work in our lives till we become the expressed image of his glory. Isn't that wonderful? That's awesome. But that's the word of God. That's what the word of God says concerning us. And this is what God wants to bring about. We are his trophy, his masterpiece, to be set on display. Hallelujah. And this last paragraph is a good teaching as well. We are not being conformed. And the Greek word for conform is, I believe I'm pronouncing it right, suskamatizo, or suskamatizo. And it is to conform one's self, mind and character to another's pattern, to fashion alike to this world. And so what it's saying is we're not supposed to imitate anyone or thing that is of this world, in this world. We're not supposed to pattern ourselves after them. I mean, we could pick on stars, and it's not to be condemning, but, you know, there's something about when people are on television or they're on stage that it attracts others, and people just look at them and say, wow, and I want to be like them. Whatever it may be, whether they're dancing, whether they're singing, whether they're playing sports or something like that, they want to pattern themselves after them. And see, for us, what he's telling us is we don't want to do that. Mm-mm. I used to have some idols, and I still like them. Sugar Ray Leonard, used to love watching him fight. Michael Jordan, everybody knows about Jordan, favorite basketball player. Luther Vandross, one of the favorite singers. That was when I was in the world. And with Michael Jordan, I was in the kingdom still. It was the greatness of his ability to play at a level that nobody could compete with him. And then I would just start to see things from the realm of the spirit as far as how his determination to win. He was so dominant that Pat Riley said, as long as Michael Jordan is in the league, nobody else is going to win a championship. That was before, that was when he was with the Chicago Bulls. And then after that repeat of three championships in a row, and they split things up. I don't know why, you know, that stuff happens. It happens in the world. It even happens in the church. Just splits up, and it loses. And they could have went on and probably won a couple of more championships if they wanted to, but they wanted to get rid of Phil Jackson. Wrong. They got rid of Phil. Michael said, I got to go too. And Scotty couldn't handle it. Even when Jordan left, Scotty wasn't. He was good, good supporting actor, good supporting player, but he was not the man. But we don't want to pattern ourselves after the world. We don't want to fashion ourselves. And it says to conform oneself, which means this is what we want to do. Okay? I want to look like that. I want to look like that person. I want that hairstyle. I want that haircut. I want that clothing. I want that suit, if you will. And it says no. But it says, but we are being transform. And the Greek word for transform is metamorpho, which is to change into another form. Hallelujah. So we want to undergo the process of God to turn us into the person that he wants us to be. He created us to be. He made us to be the new creation in Christ. That's what we want to go after. Hallelujah. We don't want to look to the world as our pattern, as our idol, if you will, as the ones we're going to fashion ourselves after. No, we want to look up. As Paul told us, he says, since ye have been raised with Christ Jesus, seek those things which are above. I think that's Colossians chapter 3, somewhere in there. Seek those things which are above where Christ is. Go after the heavenly now. I know it might seem simple, but in walking it out, we fail miserably. Because we still live on that same level of who we are, who we've been, and how others have seen us. Breaking the world's mold and pattern is not an easy thing to do, but it is necessary for a child of God. If you're going to experience the victory of Jesus, if you're going to experience the power and flow of God, you're going to have to break the mold of the world. In other words, you cannot be conformed. You cannot be fashioned after the world's pattern. You can't be what the world wants you to be. And neither can you look to them as, well, I want to be like so-and-so. To change into another form, God conforming us to the image and likeness of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus is not on. Yes, he is. He said, lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. The scripture says that he working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. Jesus is like, I'm right in your midst. That very word that you read, that word speaks of me. I am the same as the word. I am the word incarnate. And so we learn how to pattern ourselves after Jesus. So we look at his life. I won't get to Mark chapter 12, but you read Mark chapter 12, Mark chapter 13, Mark chapter 14, 15, 16. Look at how Jesus conducted himself. Look at the things that he had to come up against. With people, and he was only doing the will of the Father. That was his mission. And if we're being conformed to his image, to pattern ourselves after him, What was his mission is now our mission. We don't have to go to the cross because he did a good finished work there. He said it's finished. Nobody else needs to go to the cross. Now we live a crucified life, but my will is to do the will of him that sent me. And he said this, as the Father sends me, even so I send you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand of praise if that blessed you. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. That word conformed is a different Greek word from the other conformed. This word conformed means sumorphos, which means having the same form as another, similar, jointly formed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so it's not Beyonce, it's not Jay-Z, they're popular, that's the only reason I bring them up. It's not Justin Timberlake or what's her name, Katy Perry. Okay, Katy Perry was raised up to be a Christian and now she's out there living worldly. She lost her way. She's lost. So she fashions and patterns herself after the world. Not criticizing, just a primary example of a believer that forsakes the pattern, that forsakes the way. That's a primary example. She's patterning herself after the world. You look at her, you look at the way she dressed and the way she danced. I don't look at her movies, or not movies, but dancing and things like that. And the world loves her. You look at, Nicki Minaj, raised up as a Christian. And yet some of the things that come out of her mouth and some of the things she does, she's patterning herself after the world. And the thing of it is the Bible says, no, don't do that. It's a primary example. Don't do that. No, find somebody that's following hard after Jesus. Okay? And you follow hard after Jesus. That's the pattern, that's the way, that's the plan, that's the purpose. And in the process, the power of God flows through you to touch others' lives. You carry the message of salvation. It is still the power of God unto salvation. You have the only message that saves mankind. Hallelujah. The only message that will work. None of the others will work. It doesn't matter how many people follow a different teaching or doctrine. You have the only message of salvation. It was to the Jew first, because Jesus was a Jew. And then also to the Greek, or the ungodly, or the Gentiles, which was representing the world. So this gospel is for everybody. Not just for black people, not just for white people. It's not a white man's gospel, it's not a black man's gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ for the entire world, that the world through him might be saved. For the Asian, for the African, for the Latino, Hispanic, for the German. It's for everybody. And you got the message. Hallelujah. Glory. Whether they want to hear it or not, you've got it. Stand to your feet.